Well, again, it's good to be with you. Good to see you tonight. We do have quite a few visitors, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for you being with us this evening. Among our visitors, the Ellises are here. He normally preaches Sunday night. They had a singing this afternoon, so they were able to come and be with us, and it's good to see them along with everyone else who's visiting. Many have the attitude that they can pretty much do what they want to do and believe what they want to believe, and there shouldn't be anybody have a problem with that. We should all just accept everybody for how we are. Why can't I accept you for doing what you want, and why can't you accept me for doing what I want? That's kind of the way of the world. But when you think of Adam and Eve, for example, why is it that they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden? What did they do that caused them to bring sin into the world? They didn't do anything morally wrong. They didn't kill someone or do anything else that is a moral kind of sin. They simply didn't obey God. And they didn't obey God in the exact way which He commanded them to obey God. That's what brought sin into the world, by them not following God's word. And they learned quickly that they don't have the right to their own ideas and their own opinions, that when they go against God, that they'll be punished for that. And that's what happened to them and why they were not able to remain in the Garden of Eden. We do not have a right to our own ideas, our own doctrines, our own opinions. If they are against what God spoke, then we must not do it or teach it. And where God has remained silent, we also must remain silent. But what we have to do is have the proper attitude toward error. And that's the opposite of what we talked about this morning. For those of you who were here this morning, we talked about truth. And we saw that Jesus is truth. And Jesus spoke truth. That when Jesus opened His mouth, what came out was truth. And we're going to look at the opposite of that tonight. And look at error and what our attitude should be toward error, toward anything that is not truth. We're going to see how we should feel about that. We need to find out what God's Word teaches us regarding religious error. Because God's Word nowhere gives us authority to believe what we want or to teach what we want. And we don't need to do it, and we don't need to accept it either. So what we're going to do in our lesson tonight as we look at this subject is to learn that error does exist in different forms. And then we're going to see that Christians have a duty toward it. Again, this morning we talked about what our duty is toward truth and how we're going to accept truth, how we're going to abide by truth, how we're going to live according to truth and truth alone. And tonight we're going to see how we must stay away from error and not allow it into our lives, not allow it into our churches, to keep it away from us. And so let's look at the different ways which error does exist, or at least a few of them that we have here. The first way that we're going to look at is the fact that there are wrong doctrines. You can be turning to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 8 through 9. We're going to look at what Jesus says about this subject and then what Paul says about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Both of those passages are on the screen for you. But as we look at error, we understand that there are doctrines that are just plain wrong. When a common saying today, something that you probably hear and that I often hear, is that we don't need to make an issue over doctrine. That doctrine doesn't really matter. You know, this group over here can have one doctrine and this group over here can have another doctrine. As long as we all love God, as long as we all accept His grace, then we'll all be fine. Well, should we make an issue over doctrine? That's the question. Well, when we look at these passages, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, as He's talking to a group of people, the scribes and the Pharisees, who have just falsely accused His disciples, accusing them of doing something against the law, which really wasn't against the law, it was against the tradition of their elders. And as they are accused of that, this is how Jesus responds in verse 7. He says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So there's doctrines of men, and there's the truth, which we talked about this morning. The truth which Christ spoke, which is His Word, that's truth. Anything opposite of that, anything that is against that, is doctrines of men. And this is an example of a doctrine of men, or doctrines of men that they are following. And then when you look in 2 Timothy 4, as far as the way Paul addressed it, and again, we're at the end of his life and he's in prison, but he's writing Timothy and warning him about his responsibility. After Paul passes from this life, he becomes a martyr. Timothy continues preaching the word, and he tells him to keep on preaching, keep on exhorting and convincing and rebuking. But he says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now you see the opposite there. You have the doctrine that is sound. You have what is referred to as the truth. And then you have the opposite of that, which is the fables, which are their own desires, which are doctrines of men which they're going to go after, and they're going to follow after those things because, as it says in this passage, they have itching ears. So they're going to find teachers who are going to please them with their teaching. So this tells us that there is the right doctrine, which is Christ's doctrine. When Christ spoke, He spoke truth. And then there are false doctrines which come from men. If men are not speaking from Christ, they're speaking false doctrine, the opposite of that. And these doctrines are, as we said, wrong. Now, this argument, well, we shouldn't make a deal about doctrine, a big deal about doctrine. It shouldn't matter. You believe what you want, I believe what I want, that kind of idea. The word doctrine in the New Testament is used about 40 times. And that's in the New King James Version. In the King James Version, the word doctrine is used over 50 times as far as being translated into the word doctrine. So how can we say, well, we don't need to make a big issue over doctrine, and doctrine shouldn't be a big deal, when the New Testament tells us over and over and over again that doctrine is important? And so we have to understand that there are wrong doctrines and there is the right doctrine, which is the Word of Christ. Well, then error exists in the fact that there are false teachers. And of course, these false teachers are the ones who are out promoting this false doctrine, teaching this false doctrine. And we look at what Peter refers to in 2 Peter chapter 2, of people who he's referring to, the teachers of old who taught false doctrine, and then says, and also you're going to have to deal with teachers who are teaching false doctrine. And this goes through generations, all the way up to our generation. We also have to face teachers who are teaching false doctrine. But there were also false prophets, verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now you can see these same words in this passage. You have there, it referred to in verse 2 as destructive ways, as opposed to the way of truth. And they're going to be in their destructive ways and teaching their false doctrine. They're going to be blaspheming, it says, the word of truth. So you have truth and then you have error. You have truth which comes from Christ, and then you have false doctrine which comes from false teachers. And this is the warning against these false teachers. And then the other passage on the screen is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which just shows that there's going to be those among us who are going to be acting as if they are teaching Christ's doctrine, acting as if they're teaching truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're going to be pretending as if they're teaching that. But in reality, according to verse 13, says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, this is a warning again to us. We have to watch out for this. We have to watch out for those who are going to be coming and teaching things which are false, which are not true, where they're trying to lead us down a path that we're not supposed to go. They're going to be teaching the false doctrines. False teachers will be among us. And in fact, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 says that they will get worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. It's not like all of a sudden false teachers aren't going to be here anymore. They're going to continue teaching their falsehoods. And the thing is, they're going to make it appealing to us. They're going to make it sound good. Say, so you need to come and accept this because this is so much better than this. And we just change it a little bit and make it a little bit better for us. No, we have to make sure that we hear the truth, which comes from Christ. And if one is not teaching Christ, then they are not teaching the truth. Well, as far as these false teachers are concerned, they're blind leaders of the blind. Because if you follow them, then you're blind just like they are. Now, this passage in Matthew chapter 15 is in reference to Pharisees, and it goes back to what we were saying where Jesus called them hypocrites. And he said that they are teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Remember in verse 9. As you continue down, and we'll skip on down to verses 13 through 14 of what Jesus says. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." If it's not from him, if it's from false teachers, it will be uprooted. "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." And we understand that that would be true. If you have a blind man leading a blind man, neither one of them are going to be able to see to get anywhere. And that's how these Pharisees are described. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 30, is the example where Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders in Miletus, telling them that even among you, there's going to be false teachers who are going to rise up and they're going to try to lead you astray. These are warnings. This is what we have to be aware of. They're not going to look like a false teacher. They're not going to have a sign around their neck saying, "Look at me, I'm a false teacher, stay away, don't listen to me." They're going to be trying to lead us astray, and we have to be careful with that. So error exists in that there's wrong doctrines, there's false teachers that teach these wrong doctrines, they're blind leaders of the blind, and certainly there are false ways. And going back to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And that goes back to this attitude, you believe what you want, I'll believe what I want, everything's okay. Man may think that a way is right. They may think that their way is right. They may say it doesn't matter what way you go. It's okay if you go your way and I go my way. But what this passage tells us is man's way will always lead to death. Remember, Christ speaks truth. He is the way, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So anything apart from that, then it is not the right way. His way leads to life. Any other way leads to death. It's common sense when we put it into practice like that. Only one way leads to life, and the Bible distinguishes the right way from all the other false ways. And that leads to the next point, which is that there are wrong roads. Now, we can pick a road, but there's only one right road to be on, and we're told that it's a narrow and a straight way. And so we have to be on the narrow and the straight way instead of the broad way, or instead on any other road that we choose, because there's only one way, and it's not an easy way. But it's the way to life. It's the way of Christ. And we have to be aware of that one way. Again, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way. The only road is through Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we said this morning, it's not Muhammad, it's not anybody else, it's only through Jesus Christ, and it's following Christ's law as it is given to us. Not many ways to heaven. One way to heaven. You can't pick your way and me pick my way. There's one way to heaven. And again, the passage that we've been using, John 14 and verse 6. And so because error does exist, we have to be aware, and not only do we have to be aware, we must act. And as we go through this, I want you to look at how each one builds upon the other, and it gets a little bit more intense each time. The first thing that a Christian must do, because there are false teachers and false doctrines, is that we have to be willing to test every teacher. We look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. This is telling us how we should be toward those who are teaching things, teaching doctrines, coming and telling us something. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because," here's the warning, and this is what Peter told us too, "because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We have to be aware of that. There's false prophets throughout the world. What are we going to do? We have to test. When someone teaches something, we have to test what is being said. Is it true or is it a false doctrine? We have to be willing to give encouragement to those who teach truth. Encourage them to keep teaching the truth no matter what anybody else says. You know, they're not going to change because someone has itching ears over here. They're going to keep teaching truth. And then also, on the other hand, we must not give encouragement to those who teach error. Now, sometimes we may do that. We may not think we're doing that, but if we're just going along with it, just saying, well, you can keep on doing it, I'll just kind of stay away and not worry too much about it, then that is us encouraging false teaching. We shouldn't even pretend to approve of false teaching. And that's on us. We're not going to, just because we want somebody to like us, just because we want to get in with someone, we're not going to just accept whatever it is that they do. No, we have to take a stand against it. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, just a page over from where we were, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." Now that's the truth that we talked about this morning. The doctrine of Christ. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, it says they do not have God. "He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine," they have some other doctrine, they're teaching something opposite of what Christ is teaching, something different than what Christ is teaching, "if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." And we understand that it doesn't mean we're going to live in a convent and stay away from everyone. We're going to interact with people. We're going to have relationships with those of the world. We understand that. But the idea is we're not going to show approval of it. We're not going to be accepting of their false teaching and their doing things falsely. Instead, we're going to be like the Bereans were in Acts 17 and verse 11, where we're going to look and see whether or not what someone is teaching is truth by searching the Scriptures to find out whether what has been taught is so. Everything I say or any other teacher says should only be accepted if it is truly the doctrine of Christ. If I say anything else that's not the doctrine of Christ, then you don't need to listen to me. Then I don't need to be teaching. And you know, that's one reason why I like to use a lot of Scripture. Sometimes it gets tedious to have to turn to all these various Scriptures and read them together. But I tell you what, when you can hear the scripture being read. You can see at least where the scripture is on the screen, and sometimes we put the scripture up there. And then you can also turn to your Bibles and you can read it yourself. That's pretty good proof that that's the truth. It comes from God's Word. And I understand scripture can be misinterpreted and so forth, but when we can do that, when we turn to these passages and we read them for ourselves, we understand this is the truth which comes from Christ. We have to understand, not only do we test every teacher, it goes a step further than that. We must expose error instead of accepting it. Not only do we stay away from it and not allow it to influence us, but Paul, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5 and verse 11, says that we have a responsibility to go further than that. That we have to actually expose, as Paul says to the Ephesians, the unfruitful works of darkness, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Whenever we think of darkness, darkness is often paralleled with error. You know, you have the light. Who is the light? Well, Christ is the light. We understand that His Word is truth. He's the truth. He's the light. The truth is the light. You see how, as we did the premises this morning, premise one, premise two, and then the conclusion, if He is the light and He is the truth, then truth is light. So we can make those two things together. But then the opposite of that is darkness. Darkness is error. You have error on one side, you have truth on the other side, you have darkness on one side, you have light on the other side. And so in this case, it says that you not only don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness or of error, but you also must expose these. Now, the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 are referred to as being light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5 says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And that certainly applies to us. We're not of darkness. We're not of the error. We're of the light. We're of the truth. And so we expose the error. But then it goes even further than that. We must also note erroneous and divisive teachers. So we test the teachers. Are they teaching Christ's doctrine or man's doctrine? Then we expose their error, and then we note them as being divisive teachers. We can look at a couple of passages to show that point, or we'll look at Romans chapter 16 in order to show that we are to expose these teachers who are teaching false doctrine instead of Christ's doctrine. It says in verse 17, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned." What doctrine is that? That's the doctrine of Christ. If it's contrary to the doctrine of Christ, avoid them, he says in verse 17. "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." So, we test every teacher, we expose error, we note erroneous and divisive teachers, and then a step further is that we actually hate every false way. Doesn't say we hate the individual, we love the individual, we want them to turn back to the truth and to follow the truth and to teach the truth. But we hate the way which is false. The psalmist in Psalm 119, he made this point in both of these verses that are up here. And of course this has to do with, as he is writing in regard to the old law, but it certainly applies to our law, to Christ's law too. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now you see, as we've been talking about, there's one truth, and then there is all the false ways. He says he hates the false ways, and he therefore gets understanding from God and from God's precepts, as it says. And then verse 128, same idea. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. There's a right way, the way of God, and then there are the false ways, which the psalmist here says that he hates. So, we don't accept them. We don't pretend to like them. We don't say, well, I'm going to go along with it and be okay with it. No, we note it and we hate it and we don't want to have anything to do with it. And then the last thing, building a little bit further, is not only do we hate it, not only do we note the one teaching it, not only do we expose it, but we actually need to war against it. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, this is actually a fight that we are in. Where good, Christ's law, Christ's truth, is against evil, against sin, against error, against false doctrine, against false teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Now that's what's referred to as a warfare. And we as Christians understand we're in a fight against evil and against the evil one. "Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck." And he gives an example of one who has, "of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So he names a couple of those who are involved in false teaching in regard to giving an example of that. But we're to war, the passage teaches, against error, against the one who teaches error. Now, why is that? Why is this all necessary? Why must Christians act this harshly? Well, there are dangers of error. And the first thing we have to understand is that error cannot save. When we looked at the truth this morning, "I am the way, the truth, the life," that's how we receive life. Is through Christ's doctrine, through Christ's way, through the narrow road which we travel. That's where we can receive life. But whenever we follow false doctrine, that's not going to lead us anywhere. Well, actually it is. It's going to lead us to destruction. It's going to lead us to punishment. And so we have to stay away from that because error cannot save. Number two, the danger of error, it denies that obedience is necessary. And that's what is pleasant. That's what a lot of people like to think, want to believe. You don't really have to do anything in particular. You just, again, you just love God. Say you love God. You know, throw your hands up occasionally. You give a hallelujah here and again, and then you're okay. Well, obedience, where's that fall into it? Don't you have to obey something? There is a truth. I am the way, the life, the truth. I am the truth. So Christ is the truth. And we have to follow after that and that alone. He's not the error. He's not the falsehood. He is the truth. And the truth leads to the life. And that's what we have to understand. Obedience is necessary, following Him and Him alone. The third reason we have to be aware of error is that error is very deceptive. And I want to look at both of these verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 is the first one I want to look at. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Both of these show us how deceptive anything other than what Christ speaks is. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Deceive you with empty words. There's the words of Christ. And of course, we understand when we talk about the words of Christ that He had messengers who also spoke His word. You know, the writings of Paul, that's the word of Christ. And the other inspired men, that's the words of Christ. But the idea is here that though anything other than the word of Christ can be deceptive. And it's described as empty words, because that brings about the wrath of God. That comes upon the sons of disobedience, the wrath of God does. And then the last passage on this point, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Now look at what all that is. Philosophy and empty deceit, it says, according to what? According to the tradition of men. Not the tradition of Christ, not the doctrine of Christ, but the tradition of men. It is deceptive. And the deception leads one again to death instead of to life. So we have to fight against that and make sure that doesn't happen to us. The dangers of error is that it will ultimately condemn the soul. When we look in the book of Titus, this is a strong warning to Titus. As Titus is preaching, he is a preacher. He is trying to encourage and teach a congregation, showing them the way of truth. And he tells them, as Paul's writing to Titus, he says, "For there are many," verse 10, chapter 1, "for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true.' Therefore," he says in verse 13, "rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth." Now, what's the warning to Titus? When you hear these, who are idle talkers, they're deceivers, he says that their mouths need to be stopped. But he says what you need to do, their warning is, you need to rebuke them sharply. Don't say sit back and put up with it. Let people say what they want, just ignore it. Let them believe what they want, you believe what you want. It says rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. The only way they can be sound in the faith is to teach the truth. The truth which comes from Christ, not from these other doctrines. And then the danger of error, finally, is that it causes one to do things differently than what God has commanded. You know, that's kind of our human side of this, where when we get involved in it and we start changing it, we start making it fit the way we want it, and someone else starts making it fit the way they want it, our human nature is that we want things our way. We want all the blessings of it, we want all the good that comes from it, but we want it our way. And once we start accepting error, that's when we start doing things our way. It's when we say, "Well, forget what it said. I'm not too worried about what it says anymore. I'm going to do it my way." And sometimes we may just barely get away from it. Well, then that leads us to get a little further away, and then a little further away, and then pretty soon we're completely away from the doctrine of Christ. And that's what's happened to so many men and so many religious groups in the world, how they've just gotten further and further and further away from Him. Well, that's what error does when we get further away from God. What has God taught regarding salvation? He's taught us what we must do to be saved. What is that? Repent, be baptized for the remission of our sins. What's man say? It doesn't matter what man says. Man says all kinds of things. Say a sinner's prayer. Just say you believe. But what does God say is the question. What does God revealed about how the church should receive money? Well, lay by in store on the first day of the week. What's man say? Let's have a bake sale. Let's have a go sell donuts, whatever. Well, who are we going to listen to? What are we going to do? If we allow error, then we're going to start doing things different than what God says, and we're not going to care. It's not going to make any difference to us whether we do it His way or some other way. God has revealed what He wants us to do. And if we're going to honor and respect God, then we need to obey Him exactly like He's commanded us to, no matter what it is. He has spoken truth. We must abide by that truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. Let's remember that. Let's keep that in mind as we start our new year. I guess these are the New Year sermons. About truth versus error. We all need to heed those words. We need to make sure that we understand what truth is and what sin is, what error is, and stay away from it and allow ourselves to be true servants of Christ. The truth is, Acts 2:38, that we are to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Are we going to do that? Have you decided to do that? Have you decided to become a child of God? We hope that you will. We hope that you'll make the decision to follow the truth, to serve Christ, to become a Christian and live as a Christian. Are you continuing that path? Are you being faithful until death? As long as we're here on this earth, we must continue to live every day faithful to God. Are you continuing that walk? I hope that all of us are. If you're not, we encourage you to turn back to God, to repent and pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. We're certainly here to pray with you and to help you in any way that we can. But if we can assist you, if you need to respond to the gospel, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing? God.